All right. Last week, I started a topic called Without Love. We looked at it last week about how I feel like that it's the missing ingredient in the church. And it's one of the things that God said to desire. Without love, we are nothing. We saw that last week. We could have all these things, and we're going to see that tonight. All these things that we could have, that we see as important, but without love, we're missing it. I've had so many opportunities this week to talk on this topic. This topic stirred a few of you more than I've ever seen, and it should. That how hard it is to love and how much it is, it's a decision. And I've said this over and over and over. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not an emotion. I'm going to just keep referring to the things that I'm going through with this video we watched last night. Fireproof. His marriage was in such bad shape that he could not go by emotion. He had to make a decision. It had to go beyond what he felt like. You know, sometimes in our marriage, we have to come to that point of, am I going to choose to do this because it doesn't feel like the right thing to do? Well, feeling, what you feel doesn't have anything to do with it. If we operate by what we feel, we're going to wind up in trouble. We cannot go by our emotions or our feelings. We can only go by what's true. Because if you go by what feels good, you're going to wind up on a pathway to hell. I've been on that pathway. I have been at a time in my life where I responded to what felt good, and it's the wrong path. And down deep, I was baptized and saved at five. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost at 17. And even though I fell off the wagon, the Holy Spirit was still in there telling me, this isn't where you're supposed to be. And I knew it. I knew it the whole time. But it's an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's not passion. Love is not passion. That's lust. We've got to be able to determine between lust and love. And love is a decision. You know, early on, we are passionate. Passion in the right sense isn't wrong. But, you know, you get going down this path with your spouse to be, and you're impassioned. You have a drive. You are going somewhere. But after a few years, that starts to go away, and it starts to become a decision sometimes. Let me just warn you, marriage isn't always easy. It is not, everybody laughs at me for this, tiptoeing through the tulips and riding off into the sunset, living happily ever after. It's not. It's work. But if you will work at it, it's the most wonderful thing I believe we can experience here on earth besides our relationship with God, is my relationship to my wife, if I work at it. If I don't, my marriage is going to hell. I'm telling you, go rent this. When it comes out in a couple days, go rent this movie. I don't know that I've promoted too many things from the pulpit, but I promote that. I think I was even asked not to promote this, but I'm going to promote it anyway. They are starting a fireproof. Honey, it's a class in our church. It's a class in our church, a Sunday school class based on the movie. There is a handbook that goes with it that was called The Love Dare. And they didn't want it promoted because they don't want the class to get too big yet. So hopefully they'll do it this first time and then offer it again. But I'm sorry, I'm excited about it. I feel like I've just... No, it's okay. It'll stay. It'll stay like it is. It'll be okay. We need to be willing to let it be what it needs to be. How about that? So I'm not sweating, but I feel like I'm sweating. Why don't we go greet one another again? Thank you, Gerd. That was right on. I'm kidding. We'll never fellowship again, I can tell you that. I'm kidding. This is something we need to do. Without love is the missing ingredient, I believe. And if you remember from last week, we as human beings tend to qualify our love based on the way people look, based on affluence, based on what people's status are, based on what they can do for us, based on whether they can meet our standard. But Christ has no qualifier. That's what I was trying to get out this morning, is there were those here that I could just feel were beat down and didn't believe that God wanted them. But God has no qualifier. He created you. Just as much as He created me. He loves you just the same as He loves me. I am a child of God. And He loves me. And He loved me before I gave my heart to Him. And He loved me just as much then as He does now that I've given my heart to Him. His love didn't change. It's just a matter of whether we will grab hold of this. And we need to learn to not have qualifiers on our love. Christ loved us while we were still sinners, it says in Romans 5:8. He loved us when we were covered with the stench of sin. Christianity without love is just another cult. The world does not care what we know until they know that we care. Do you hear that? Without love, you have no value, and we're going to see that. Without love, you are less than junk. Junk is something that can no longer make a contribution to anything or anyone. But you know what? Even in a junkyard, you will find things of value. People go there every day. I've been there. There's stuff you can get there. Not have to buy it new and pay some brand new, when something from the junkyard would work just as well. But something that is labeled as junk makes no contribution. And I believe that that's where we are if we have no love. Let's take a look at it. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:2, we looked at this last week. If I have not love, I am nothing. There is a chime or something. Oh, it's the I would say the tambourine is the devil, but it isn't. But that's what it is. The air is blowing right on it. Those of you that have been here for a while I was worship leader, I was anti-tambourine. We had a children's pastor that would sing on Sunday nights and get that tambourine out and get it right in front of the microphone. And I'm telling you what, I passionately hated the tambourine. There you go. I don't hear it anymore. By the way, if you didn't know, I started out as the sound guy. So my ear is getting tuned to what's going on behind me back here. Okay. If I have not love, what am I? Nothing. I am nothing if I don't have love. I don't see any other way of reading that. Without love, you are spiritually dead. In 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We saw this last week, how it is a qualifier of salvation. You remember we had the confession. You got to confess it out of your mouth. We have baptism. But you can fake those two. You can say it, not mean it. You can get dunked in the water and it not, you really not have your heart in it. But you can't fake love. You might can put on a show for a while, but eventually it'll show up. You ever had friends that were good friends until it got heated up and then they went the other direction? You know those that'll stay with you. Because when the fire comes, they're right there with you. And they're not blaming you or calling you names or running off from you. They're there with you. Amen. Do you experience that? Yes. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Do you see that? We have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. If love is lacking, we are dead. Unless we love, we are not the sons and daughters of God. No matter what church membership we claim or what spiritual experience we profess. This is still all review. I apologize, but I feel like we've got to get this. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We must commit to work on this individually. Individually, we must commit to work on this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I personally have studied French. I've had about 3 or 4 years of French. I have studied Greek, I've studied Hebrew, and I've studied English. By default, I have a minor at Tennessee Tech in English. If you get a business management degree back when I took it, you automatically have enough hours to have a minor in English. But I've mastered none of them. But what if I were eloquent in every language? What if I could speak fluently in every language? I can say a couple little phrases. I can ask you, what's your name in French? Comment vous appelez-vous? Je m'appelle Paul. Je m'appelle. But what if I could speak fluently? Like we went to Uganda and they speak Lugandan, which is a tribal language. What if I could speak fluently in every language? It would be human to have the instinct to say, I'm something. You hear that? In the human standard, we would want to be able to say, hey, I'm something. I got something. But without love, you're nothing. Even with the ability to do that. Let's take it another step. Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy, what if I knew the future? What if I could predict tomorrow with 100%? What if I could tell the Wall Street Journal tomorrow what the stock market's going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day? What if I could predict earthquakes and tornadoes? What if I could tell the president exactly what's going to happen in the Middle East? What if I could tell him exactly where Osama bin Laden is? The president would be calling me every morning. Alan Greenspan or Ben Bernanke would live right next door to me. Day and night, financial advisors would be around me all around the world. And you know, the human tendency would be to say, that guy's something. Look at what he knows. But it says, without love, you are nothing. Paul says, and if I understand all mysteries. This is 1 Corinthians 13:2. You know, as pastors, we go in the hospitals regularly. And we see a lot of diseases and a lot of sickness. But one of the greatest medical mysteries that we have today is the cure for cancer. And we pray, oh God, give us a cure for cancer. Brilliant men and women are working day and night for that. And billions of dollars are being spent for that progress. But what if I could call up the American Cancer Society and say, hey, this is Paul Ramsey Jr. I have the cure for cancer. I'd win the Pulitzer Prize. Every magazine in the world would come and see me. Every newspaper would come to our office. Television reporters would camp out in our yard. And I would have the instinct to say, I'm something.
But it says, even if I understand all mysteries, if I have not love, I am nothing. He takes another step farther. What if I have all knowledge? What if I know everything about chemistry? What if I could make Albert Einstein look like an idiot in math? What if I had all knowledge? It says, without love, I'm nothing. Do you hear what I'm doing? I'm building a case against everything that maybe we might think that makes us something. And I'm not saying you're nothing, but without love, it says we're nothing. We can have all these things, but catch this one. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Faith. Man, what a topic. It says in 1 John 5:4. It says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Faith starts out before you know where it's going to wind up. Faith starts out before you know how it's going to turn out. Faith doesn't demand miracles, but it creates the environment where miracles happen. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Everything heaven has to offer comes with the currency of faith. Without faith, what? It's impossible to please God. Smith Wigglesworth was a mighty man of faith. On one occasion, he in his prayer closet, he got the word from God to go and pray for this woman who was sick. He instantly obeyed, and when he arrived there, he found out that the woman had died. Smith Wigglesworth said, God sent me here to pray for her. Whether she's dead or alive doesn't matter. So he goes in, escorted into the lady to the room where the lady had died, picked her up later, took her out of the bed, leaned her against the wall and shouted, live in Jesus' name. And she came back to life. But God says, all faith so that you could remove mountains. If you could raise people from the dead. If you have some miracle ministry that will pack stadiums and auditoriums. If you have not love, you are nothing. And then finally, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Do you remember the rich young ruler who kept all the commandments? A great man. But Jesus said, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And the Bible says that his response was that he became very sorrowful for he was very rich. This is in Luke 18. Why was he so sorrowful? Because he loved his possessions more than he loved Jesus Christ. But even if we are willing to give some food to God, even if we were willing to give all, did you know that 75% of America's church members don't tithe to their local church? But the Bible says, even if you gave everything, even if you had such a heart to pour out to the hungry children or to the needy, if you have not love, you are nothing. If you have not love, I would encourage you this week to work on your love. That it is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. Remember me saying last week that the hardest ones to love are the ones that need it the most? I would encourage you just to pick somebody out that you know you need to be loving on and just start working on it. It doesn't mean you're going to be successful every single time that you do it. You're going to fall down. But get up and try it again. And love on your neighbor. Love on that person that's in your office that seems unlovable. Love on that person that you hang around. That just gets on your very last nerve. love on those that you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to. I know that the Lord's been dealing with you with some people. We all work around difficult people sometimes. I'm not looking at him like I'm the difficult one. He looks at me like I'm